The views and comments expressed on the Space Show by its guests, callers, and listeners belong to them. The Space Show and its hosts serve only as a platform and are not responsible for others' comments or views. All topics discussed on the Space Show are primarily for educational purposes.
Live from the Space Talk Radio Studios, it's The Space Show with Dr. David Livingston. Broadcasting live to four continents, consistently bringing you quality news and interviews with the best and brightest minds in the new space economy, here's the founder and host of The Space Show, the man who best articulates the vision of space commercial enterprise, Dr. David Livingston.
Good morning, Space Show listeners. Welcome to the Friday morning program. It's nice to be here. Thank you for joining in. A couple of quick announcements and then right into our program. If you would like to call our show, that toll-free line is 1-866-687-7223. Remember, no call screeners. Let the phone ring until it's answered, and then be patient until we can bring you up on the air. The email addresses for you to use are dmlivings@yahoo.com. drspace@thespaceshow.com, and thespaceshow@gmail.com. And for those of you on Instant Messenger, ICQ, or CompuServe for chat, the screen name is the same for all three, one word, Space Show Chat. Check out our newsletter. The comprehensive one is on our website, www.thespaceshow.com. It's uploaded every Monday, changed as necessary during the week. And then if you want the weekly events newsletter emailed to you, that also goes out on Monday. Send a subscription request to drspace@thespaceshow.com, and we'll be happy to start sending that to you. Remember that everything we do is archived, MP3 format, and podcast. When you can, visit the Space Show store. Give us some feedback on that store. Hopefully you'll find some products and items there that you like. If you have suggestions for improving it, please send them to us. And then above all, we ask that you click on the Support the Space Show button. It's a big undertaking to do the Space Show. We appreciate your help, your financial gifts. We need them, any size, any amount. Everything helps. And remember, the Space Show is fully tax deductible. So when you do make a gift, it is now a tax deductible gift. The Space Show is a trademark and registered service mark for me. I own the copyright. You're free to burn these shows to CD, pass them around, share them, get the word out. Just don't do anything commercial, nor should you change the text of any of the interviews. And as always, we thank Gigadial.net and Andrew for their great free podcasting service. Our RSS URL for subscribing to our podcast is on the website in both newsletters. If you have a problem, let us know at the Dr. Space email address. And a couple of quick hold the dates. The Mars Society is coming up next week, August 3rd through the 6th in Washington, D.C. SmallSat coming up real fast, August 14th through the 17th in Logan, Utah. AIAA, September 19th through the 21st, San Jose, California. And then the California Space Authority, November 29th through December 1st. This is the Transforming Space Conference. This is in Los Angeles. And then part of the XPRIZE Cup, there is the International Symposium on Personal Spaceflight, October 17th and 18th. Actually, I think it's 18th and 19th, Las Cruces, New Mexico. This is put on by New Mexico State. Then you have the XPRIZE Cup, which is October 2021 in Las Cruces, New Mexico. And then you have ISDC 2007, May 24th through 28th. That this year will be, next year will be in Dallas, Texas. And that brings us back to our show. We're most fortunate to have back with us Eric Lerner. Mr. Lerner is president of Lawrenceville Plasma Physics. We welcome him back to the program. He has been very active in DPF research for 20 years. Beginning in 1984, he developed a detailed quantitative theory on the functioning of DPF. And based on this theory, he proposed that DPF could achieve high ion and electron energies at high densities suitable for advanced fuel fusion and space population. under a series of contracts with JPL, he planned and participated in carrying out experiments that tested and confirmed this theory. In addition, he developed an original model for the role of strong magnetic field effect on DPF functioning, showing that this effect could have a large effect on increasing ion temperature and decreasing electron temperature. He is a leading researcher in cosmology. This is the primary topic of today's program, as well as astrophysics, developing original plasma-based theories of quasars, large-scale structure, and other phenomena of the universe. He is a writer about science and technology. He is the author of over 600 articles. He was also a visiting astronomer at the European Southern Observatory, and he is now working with the Thermal Nuclear Lab of the Chilean Nuclear Commission in Santiago. He received his bachelor's in physics from Columbia University, and he did graduate work in physics at the University of Maryland. Welcome back to the program. How are you, Eric?
Well, thanks. I'm fine, and glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
You were last on March 12th, and before the show started, you told me there's a few updates that we can spend some time talking about regarding your fusion work, so let's start off with that.
Okay. Well, first of all, we should explain that what we're talking about is a device called the Dense Plasma Focus. In your introduction, you were using this abbreviation, DPF. And the Dense Plasma Focus is a very small fusion device consisting of two cylindrical electrodes inside one another, only a few centimeters across. And from this, we and other researchers have been able to obtain extremely high temperatures and extremely high magnetic fields, which is what you want for obtaining fusion power. So when we last talked, we had just reached an agreement with the Chilean Nuclear Energy Commission to carry out a joint experiment with their facility in Santiago. And now we're about to start that experiment in a couple of weeks. We're going to be starting the first stage, which involves calibrating and testing all the instruments we need. So that's one big development is going to be the start of that experiment.
And it's a 3-year experiment, right?
That's right. The goal of the experiment is to test whether focus fusion, the production of useful nuclear fusion power with focus fusion is scientifically feasible. And what we mean by focus fusion is using the dense plasma focus with hydrogen-boron fuel. The great advantage of hydrogen-boron fuel is that it produces virtually no neutrons, essentially no dangerous levels of radioactivity. And, most important of all, the energy comes off in the form of charged particles. And that means we can use electrical means, essentially a high-tech transformer, to get the energy out as electricity. We don't need to use the thermal cycle, which has been in use since Edison's time, in which you take a heat source, boil water, put the steam through a turbine, and spin it around to generate electricity, all of which is very expensive. So our goal here is to produce an energy source that is clean, unlimited, and at least an order of magnitude, at least a factor of 10, cheaper than any energy source today. So the goal of this experiment, this 3-year-long experiment, is to get the scientific data showing that we are producing enough energy with this fuel so that with reasonable conversion efficiencies, we will be able to get out net energy. So we're testing the scientific feasibility. If we're successful, we'll need another stage, probably of the same order of magnitude, probably a few years, to actually develop an engineering model, a prototype of a functioning reactor.
During the 3 years, do you get ongoing feedback that gives you an indication of your success or not, or do you have to wait for the full 3 years?
Oh, absolutely. Let me just describe what the general phases of the research are. The first phase is going to be essentially duplicating the earlier results that we got at Texas A&M University back in 2001 when we were funded by Jet Propulsion Lab of NASA. And what we proved there was that we could attain the very high temperatures, over a billion degrees, that's needed to burn this fuel. Because one of the reasons why other groups have, not all other groups, but most other groups working in fusion have concentrated on deuterium-tritium fuel is because it burns at a lower temperature, of the order of hundreds of millions of degrees rather than billions. So people have felt, well, it's so difficult to get hundreds of millions, we won't even try to get billions. But we obtained evidence that these high temperatures could be obtained. And then last year, another group working with a much larger, different machine, Sandia's Z-pinch machine, they also obtained temperatures that were in the billions of degrees. But as in all science, results that are shocking and constitute a breakthrough have to be confirmed by duplicating them at different facilities and with different conditions. This won't just be a duplication, because we're going ahead because we are going to have better diagnostic equipment, better instrumentation than we had 5 years ago. And one of the big changes is that we will have an X-ray lens which can form a really high-resolution image of the plasmoids. Now, what's happening in this device is that the magnetic energy that's created by the currents in the device, there are no built-in magnets. All the magnetic fields are generated by nature based on the very high currents in the device. These currents, through the pinch effect, pinch together and form a little donut-shaped blob of plasmol, which has been called a plasmoid, which is, looks like a little donut. But it's tiny. It's microns, thousands of millimeters across. So to view that object, we need an X-ray lens, which can actually focus the X-rays that come off of the very hot electrons within this plasmoid. Well, we didn't know about it in 2001. It was a very new product, but there is a commercial product which we have now purchased, which can focus these X-rays. So that's going to give us a measure, a direct measure of the size of the plasmoid. Now, we're also going to be measuring the amount of X-rays, how hot the electrons that are producing the X-rays are, and when we put them all together, we'll be able to characterize from direct measurement how dense the plasma is, how hot it is, how long it lasts. And those are the three things you need for fusion. At the Texas experiment, we were able to derive these this data indirectly from the experimental results, but because we couldn't directly measure the size of the plasmoid, we had to infer that. So the first stage is going to be to confirm these earlier results with much better instrumentation. So that's step one. Step two We're going to use some theoretical research we've been doing in the past 5 years. We haven't been idle, in order to see whether we can increase the efficiency in which energy is transferred into this tiny plasmoid. Basically, we want a bigger plasmoid. So that's going to be the second stage of the experiment. And then the third stage, which obviously to us is the most exciting, is we're going to introduce the fuel, hydrogen boron, and see how much energy we can get out of it. The first two stages, we're going to be mainly using deuterium, which is the standard experimental gas because it produces lots of neutrons, burns at a pretty high temperature, and helium. Helium doesn't react in a nuclear manner, but because its atomic mass and atomic charge are similar to our fuel, which is a mixture of hydrogen and boron, it's a good way of looking at the performance of this device without having to get into the complexities of using the fusion fuel. So then the final stage is we're going to be using the fusion fuel and trying to get out as much energy as we can.
If everything were to go well, how long would it take to go to something commercial?
Well, as I say, as I said earlier, we only envision another approximately 3-year program to develop a commercial product. In other words, this experiment, we hope, will be the final stage of the scientific research needed to develop focused fusion. After that, it's an engineering project. An engineering project in the sense that we have to use existing technology, very mature technology, including some of the technology that's used to produce, for example, the microwaves that carry some of the communications that you were talking about in your introduction, like cell phones. We have to apply that mature technology to this technology, to focused fusion, to building an actual reactor that's going to work. And that's not a trivial job. I mean, when we're using this device to test it experimentally, it's a pulse device. We're going to fire it maybe once every 10 minutes. For this to produce significant amounts of power, it's going to be firing 1,000 times a second. So, of course, there are engineering considerations.